Have you ever heard it said that misery loves company? Right? Misery loves company. And while that may be true for some people, I think the reality is that the real thing is we all love company. Have you ever noticed that when you're with other people doing the same things or talking about the same things that you're passionate about, it enhances the experience? I think about, you know, unlike our worship team that does such beautiful singing, I'm not going to sing that way, right? So if I'm around my home and I'm singing and by myself, it sounds like somebody's murdering a dog, right? Like, but when I sing with you, I sound wonderful. I sound like an angel, right? And so that's the thing about being together with people is that it enhances the experience. It even grows us. It's actually a part of discipleship. And so one of the things that I think that's often lacking in our discipleship and in our spirituality is, you know, not just prayer. We've been talking about how that we all agree prayer is good. We all believe in prayer, and yet we struggle to do it. And I think that much like the other things in life that we struggle to do by ourselves, that it becomes easier when we do it together. And it becomes easier not only when we do it together, but when we're in agreement about what it is we're praying for. So as we continue in our series, Speak, Lord, We Are Listening, part six today is dealing with prayers of agreement and praying together. Possibly one of the shortest passages I'll ever use. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 begins, and this is Jesus talking. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Okay? Read that again. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So we're going to be looking at what does it mean to be in agreement in prayer, and what happens when we agree in prayer, and what happens when we pray together. So principle number one today is agreeing together in prayer amplifies our voice before our Heavenly Father. Be careful, you know, try to be careful with some of the illustrations that I use today because they're not meant to be taken literally and they're going to have weak points, but I'm trying to get a main picture across. So for those of you that are parents and have had more than one child, or you were in a family where there was more than one child, I want you to think about, you know, when you're driving anywhere, it doesn't even have to be a road trip. You're just going to the grocery store or you're going to the game, and you have all the kids in the back seat and the parents in the front seat. Man, that could be one of the most chaotic scenes of all time, right? Everybody's just making noise, doing this, doing that. I want this and I want that, and they're not leaving me alone, and you can't even think, right? And so, but what's it like when everybody's unified with one voice? Do you realize that as people agree together and they go after one thing together, it not only makes the voice crystal clear, it also amplifies it, right? And so I'm going to show us a couple scriptures here. You know, we got to be careful, of course, all the time as we deal with prayer, because when we see scriptures like this that says, you know, ask for anything and God will give it, we know the context is if it's according to his will. We don't boss God around. He's not our genie, but he is listening and he does want the prayer. And I do believe that when we're in a season of asking for something and we know that it could be God's will and we know it's a good thing we're asking for, that when we have others doing it with us, it does make our voice clearer and it amplifies it before the Father. So we're going to look at a few different small portions of text here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. So, as I talk about agreeing in prayer and praying together. Of course, I'm in no way saying that praying by yourself is invalid or it's weaker. What I'm just saying is when we agree in prayer, when we pray together, it gets better, right? I think that's the main argument. So we know that even as individuals, we are confident that God hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. So now, when we start to get people agreeing, we're not just agreeing because it's my friend or I love you. We're agreeing because we believe this is God's will and what we're asking for. So I want to show you an example of how agreeing in prayer and praying together amplifies our voice and makes it clear before the throne. So when we go to Exodus chapter 2, we want to remember this is the very last part of the chapter. And the Israelites have now been in slavery for roughly, they've been in Egypt for roughly 400 years, and many of those have been as slaves, right? And injustice after injustice continues to happen. So Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Years passed, and the king of Egypt died. But the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act." Clearly, everybody for a long time, if they're an Israelite in Egypt, they've been groaning, they've been hurting, they've been, you know, murders, there have been assassinations, there have been all these things, right? Oppression. And so they're all doing it individually. You know, when you're in pain, it's hard not to cry out in pain. But as the pain and the voices start to become more and more, and they start to come in agreement, like, this is not right. We need God. We realize only God can help us. It reaches the throne. Again, I'm not saying your individual prayer doesn't. Just saying it's even better when you're in agreement in prayer and doing it together. So another example I'm going to show you is in Revelation chapter 6. Okay, so we went from beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, and this is talking about the things that are to come and the judgments and things like that. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, 'How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?' Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been." I know that's kind of a dark passage, right? But, well, it's dark and it's hopeful. Dark because we want God to act now, and he's like, nah, it's not time yet. And more people are going to die just like you did. But I look at verse 10, and it says, "They," plural, "called out in a loud voice," singular. When we pray, when we're in agreement about what we're praying about, it amplifies our voice, and it makes it crystal clear before the throne. Okay? The great thing about being in agreement and praying together as well is I think it makes us more sensitive to hearing the voice of God, especially when he's saying something we don't want to hear. Right? You got to understand, these saints that are crying out here, they've been stoned, they've been burned to death, they've been butchered in all kinds of ways because they testified of God to a world that didn't want to hear it. And so as they're bringing their righteous cry before God, the answer they receive is, "I'm going to do that, but it's not time." And I think that when we agree in prayer and we pray together, especially when the rest of us that are in agreement and praying with the person, we probably have a better chance of discerning the voice of God properly because we don't have a vested interest in it other than the relationship. So this enables me to hear. When I'm joining someone in prayer and I agree with what they're praying and I hear a word like this, I'm more likely to receive it as a companion than the person actually praying it. Because the person praying it doesn't want to hear, it's going to take longer, right? And that's why I say a lot, sometimes we mistake, oh, God's not saying anything. I'm not hearing anything. And I don't think that's the case. I think what's happening is we don't want to hear what he has to say because we want it done our way on our time. So I think that's another great benefit of being in agreement in prayer and praying together, is that the saints around you that are accompanying you are going to also help you discern the voice of God even better. It'll become even clearer and more, yeah, even clearer and even louder to the group about how God is responding. So agreeing together in prayer amplifies our voice before our Heavenly Father. Principle number two, as we pray together, our hearts, minds, and souls become attuned to one another. You know, when, and I'm talking about, you know, again, what is biblical prayer, you know, communicating with God, connecting with God, pouring out your heart before God and with others. Not, you know, I pray for peace in the Middle East and rain in Spain, right? Like, we're not just checking off stuff. We're talking about genuine connection with God. So when we do it, we become attuned, hearts, minds, and soul. So what happens when we don't pray together? And I think this is a lot of what we're seeing, especially in westernized Christianity. What happens when the people of God don't pray together and when they're not in agreement about what they're praying on? When we do not pray together, our hearts, minds, and souls do not open up as easily to one another. This often results in the development of a hard heart and a closed mind when it comes to praying with others. As our hearts and minds harden, we become more susceptible to the influences and lies of God's enemies. Then as we believe those lies and as we become susceptible to those influences, guilt and shame creep into our hearts and minds, and they create even more barriers and even greater distance in our relationships. Think about, why does it feel so awkward to ask for prayer? Why is this such an awkward thing to be devoted to prayer? Think about it. Even though we all agree it's good, we all agree God answers prayer, we all know God wants us to pray, so why do we struggle so much? And I would go back to this. Because our hearts, minds, and souls cannot be attuned to each other and to God because we're not praying together. Because we're not in agreement. I mean, we look at, you know, the state of, let's call the United States for a second. I'm not saying this is the only place this happens. But even Christians are, you know, there's great divide amongst Christians over things that are nothing. Nothing of eternal significance, right? Over stupid things like politics and preferences and things like that. And what happens is we get more and more distance in the relationship when we know that Jesus' prayer for his body was to be one, to love another, to be together, to abide in one another the way that the Son abides with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So the answer and the cure to much of this is to actually be in agreement in prayer and to pray together. It's like, you know, it's so interesting because I see it played out in marriages and in families. There's an old saying, right? The family that prays together stays together. I'm not saying that's biblical. I'm just saying I think that's a good concept. Because when we don't do that and we're not attuned, its separation is so easy to come in. You can still be in the same church. You can still be in the same family. You can still have the same marriage, but the power's not there. The unity's not there. Right? And again, why is it not there? Because when we don't do those things, our heart gets hard, our mind gets closed off, and now we become easier. We get to a place where it's easier for us to believe the lies of God's enemies and to be influenced by the world. And so being in agreement in prayer and praying together is literally the weapon against those things. But it's a weapon that we leave on the shelf too often. As we pray together, our hearts, minds, and souls become attuned to one another. You know, I know that for, you know, Pray for Lafayette group, for the ESL group, and for our Wednesday night prayer group, it's amazing how much the people come to really love one another as they spend time and they pray together. It's amazing. And then you start to notice things that you would not otherwise notice about your brother or your sister. You know, and one of the things, you know, I love to brag on you guys. One of the things that I love to see, and it's one of the greatest gifts, I think, of our more seasoned believers, especially that have been here at Living Hope the longest. I see that they dedicate themselves, they commit themselves, and they're consistent in the way they try to carry out their faith. And push come to shove, no matter what comes down the pipeline, they're going to be there. And that's the kind of prayer warriors you want on your side. Even if they're having the worst day of their life or the worst week of their life, they're there. And I look at, again, I hope this is not embarrassing because I'm meaning it as a brag. But I look at the sacrifice of some of our deacons and our leaders. You know, we see it's not so easy for Carla to get up off the chair anymore, right? We know that playing piano and all those things, the havoc that it wreaks on our hands. We know, and we've been praying for Alan's vision, that which we know is impaired, and other health issues. We know, for those of you that don't know, Georgia, you know, her knees and her back and her hands. The list goes on and on, right? We have those that are so dedicated to God, and yet their families don't follow God, and yet they continue to show up. It's amazing what you'll notice about one another when you're engaged in this prayer life, and how much your love grows for other people. But it's because we're attuned in the Spirit. And this is, remember, I was saying at the beginning of the series, we want to be the kind of church, and I think God wants to lead us to be the kind of church where we're praying for one another without having to be prompted by the person. So the person, we still want to go to people and say, hey, man, I really need some help in prayer. But we want to be so connected and so relational in the other 6 days of the week that God can bring these people to us in our prayer time. And we'll start praying for them even when we don't know what we're praying for. That's the only way that's possible, is when we are attuned spiritually, in our minds, and in our hearts. So again, we as you share prayers, and as the prayers get real, as they become more vulnerable, as they become more transparent, there's a power in that. And that power is displayed in principle number 3. Praying together awakens us to the reality that we are not alone in our struggles. We know that, but we don't live like we know that. Because I know we know this. We know nobody's perfect. We all suffer from sin. We all got particular sins that really are a stumbling block to us. We know we're not the only one struggling, but we live like we don't know that. How do I know this? Because if we lived like we knew this, it wouldn't be so hard for us to be open and transparent and vulnerable. So why are we not? Think about it. Intellectually, we know this, but we have such a hard time living it out. Again, why? Because the lies of the enemies of God and the worldly influence convinces us that it's not worth the risk. What if I open up? What if I share something and it's used against me? What if I share something and it appalls people and they never look at me the same way again? I've heard people tell me, as Christians and believers, if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't love me the same. Those are all lies of the enemy. And you got to understand, you're not the only one. We know it, but we live like we don't know it. Can we start living like we know that we're not alone in our struggles? Right? This is why I love, you know, when somebody becomes vulnerable, hey man, I really need prayer for my marriage right now. I really need prayer for my kids right now. Or man, I'm really battling depression and loneliness and fear. And it's so wonderful when you hear those things, because in the group that you're praying, yeah, you'll start to see, me too. Me too. Right? We're not alone. So we should stop living like we're alone. This is what being in agreement about prayer is and why we pray together. Because we've already figured out we can't do it alone. Right? How many of us, you know, when we want to work out or something, we're desperate to find a partner? Why? Because we know we ain't going to do it by ourselves. I might do it for a week, maybe 3 days. But if I don't have somebody to go on the journey with me, man, I'm going to quit. We can do life better together. And it's God's way. So we not only is it good enough to know you're not alone, we have to make decisions that demonstrate we know we're not alone and that will prove that we actually believe it. Principle number 4, praying together reminds us that we are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. You know, for us Western thinking people, it's funny how like individualism, which is not a bad thing, but it leads to isolationism all the time. We're so about, I can get it done, I can push through, you know, God can use us and he can do it all alone if we're all alone. But we're not all alone. And yet we continue to force God to work this way with us. We're not alone. But we act like we're alone. We're a body part in the body of Christ. And especially, you know, this applies globally, applies universally, but it really applies to the local church. Do you realize that you're a part of one body and that that body part needs you to function? Do you know you're an eyeball or a finger or a kneecap or an elbow or a hamstring? All of us, I'm naming these parts because we've all hurt these parts at one point or another, and we know how difficult it is to live life when I can't use my dominant hand anymore, or I can't see out of one eye, or I have to sit in a wheelchair for a while. We know how difficult it becomes for the rest of the body, but that's where that individualism that becomes isolationism fools us into thinking it's okay. Even though we suffer more being alone and being isolated, we convince ourselves that that's a good thing. It's better. And it's not. Not only does it hurt us, it hurts everybody. It hurts the local church. It hurts our family. It hurts your personal life. God did not create churches just to have churches and clubs. He created it because the sense of community that's supposed to be there is for our spiritual and physical good. Praying together and agreeing in prayer reminds us that we're a part of the church of Jesus Christ. We're not all alone. And I'm telling you, I know this is true because Elijah the prophet, right? The man who rains down fire from heaven, the man who shuts up the heaven and has a famine, all because God said so, of course. But he's operating on his own for so long that he comes to foolishly believe he's the last God-honoring person on this earth. Are you familiar with this passage in 2 Kings? He tells God, you know, he's worn out, he's tired, he can't go any further, and he's like, God, just kill me now. Like, I'm done. I got nothing left for you, man. I'm all used up. I'm the last one. And God's like, no, you're not. He's like, I got 700 other dudes that have never bowed down to anybody but me. But that's, think about how many times we feel that fatigued in life. God, I'm done. I can't do another one. I can't stand this kid no more. I can't stand this wife or this husband no more. I hate this job. I hate this church. I know you would never say that. I strongly am feeling bad about the church today, right? It's we're doing it to our own detriment when this is not God's way. We are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. And yes, has almost everybody here probably had a bad experience at some church? Of course. May you've had a bad experience at this church? Maybe. But that's how our own families are. And I'm not excusing our families, and I'm not saying it's right. But what I'm saying is we're all a work in progress. But some bad experiences should not lead us to individualism and isolationism, especially when it's hurting us personally, hurting our families, hurting the local body of Jesus Christ. Principle number 5. Praying together oftentimes provides us with the strength we need to keep praying, especially when it is nearly impossible to keep praying. Do we realize that when we don't feel like praying is when we need prayer the most? I don't know about you, but I also noticed this, and it's a backwards thing, and we know it, but we still do it. Why is it sometimes when we are going through the worst moments in life as Christians, and things are not working out, and we're feeling defeated, that we withdraw from the spiritual community? You ever think about that? When we're going through our hardest times, instead of running to the church, we run from the church. And that's not what we need. We need to run to the church because we don't have the strength left to keep fighting. And we need our brothers and sisters to hold us up. I think the book is Numbers. I could be wrong. But with Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, they had to war in the promised land. And there was a particular battle where God's instructions were like, so long as Moses keeps his hands uplifted, you guys are going to win. But when those hands come down, it ain't going to happen no more. So there's poor Moses. The dude's 80 years old, if not older already, right? And here he is trying to hold it up. And, of course, every time he starts dropping his hands, they start losing. So what happens? Joshua and Caleb got to come by. And they got to uphold Moses while he's doing it, right? Are you willing to let your brothers and sisters carry you when you can't carry on no more? Do you realize your brothers and sisters can carry you when you can't carry on no more? And I say this because so many of us, I mean, I know so many of you personally, and those of you that I don't know personally yet, I look forward to that. I know what go-getters you are. I know how you push through things all the time. I know God has done miracles, breaking down walls. But what that leads you to believe is that you can do it alone. You realize that? That the very victories that God has given you cause you to start believing, even though you know it was God, it also tempts you to believe you can do it on your own. It's just another barrier to push through. It's just one more challenge I can get through. But you can't. And God's saying, and then I know those feelings, right? Well, I don't want to be a burden to nobody. Everybody's already got their own problems. They don't need to hear mine. And we're wrong for that. We're wrong for thinking that we're not important enough for the rest of the body to care for. We're wrong to assume that God expects us to do it alone when he's never showed this pattern. Watch this. We all know this, but watch how this is going to work. Jesus, God in the flesh, greatest prayer life of all time. We see it throughout the scriptures. He leaves doing whatever else people expect him to do to go to connect with the Father. Do you remember that at the Garden of Gethsemane, his hour's coming, what does he do? He tells James, John, and Peter, come pray with me. Think about that. Why does God in the flesh need you to pray with him? He don't need you. He wants you. You get it? Jesus, with all the power and all the world and all worlds that we don't even know about, wanted people to be with him and agree with him in prayer and to pray together in his final hours. And yet somehow we convince ourselves that we shouldn't have this. And he's the one that's done everything for everyone. And he has no shame in his game to say, come pray with me. Why do we? Praying together oftentimes provides us with the strength we need to keep praying, especially when it's nearly impossible to keep praying. Principle number six, praying together enhances our ability to feel the presence of God in us and amongst us. The way I experience this in our Wednesday nights is amazing. It's something otherworldly. I can't even explain it to you. You know, I was the kind of person years ago, I'd be like, I don't know how long I can pray for. And so I would try to, like, make my prayer longer, right? Like, I'm going to try to, maybe I can do 15 minutes today in one time. And it's funny because on Wednesdays, by the time we're done, man, I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, dude, an hour and a half has gone by. Where the heck was I at? It ushers in the presence of God in ways that it's not any different. God's always around. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, so it's not a difference in reality. The difference is in what we can perceive. It's kind of like here sometimes when the worship team's leading us. It's not every day, but there's some Sundays I feel like I hear the voice of 1,000 people. There's the ability to feel the presence of God, I think, is amplified when we come together and we're in agreement and we're doing it together. So again, it's not changing the reality that God is with us. He's always with us. But our ability to feel it is what grows. Last principle today, number seven. Agreeing in prayer with one another and praying together constantly are meant to lead to a supernaturally empowered community of disciples that are ready to change the world. And when I say change the world, you know that I mean it starts by changing yourself first. When you agree in prayer with others and pray with others, God creates a change in you. And that change in you leads to change in your family. It leads to change in your relationships. And this is why the world is impacted. If we dedicate ourselves to these things, and this is why I believe God is saying it's time now. There's a lot of things to do, there always will be, but this is the time for prayer now. Because there are still more radical transformations He has in store for each of us as individuals, for us as brothers and sisters, for our families, for the church, and for the world. Do you want to have the kind of power that you know you can't create on your own, you can't manage on your own? Then it takes praying together. So I want you to think about, what are some of the, you know, not think about it necessarily right now, but throughout the week, what turns us off to group prayer? What has happened that has made me not believe, not that I don't theologically believe in group prayer, but what makes me not want to do it? What's the block that's there? And am I willing to give that to God? Am I willing to not let one bad experience or 100 bad experiences or 1,000 bad experiences change the truth of what the Bible tells me? You understand that, right? Sometimes we let our experience modify the Word of God in our lives because it's too painful for us to live biblically. This is why many of us struggle with forgiveness. Not because we don't believe in it, and we know we receive forgiveness from God, but it's too painful to keep forgiving people. At least we think so. Once you start forgiving people, you realize the opposite is true. It's the most freeing thing. I think it's the same thing with group prayer. If you give yourself to it, you'll start to discover a dimension of your spirituality. You start to discover another wrinkle in who God is that creates more power in your life. But the only way to know it is to try it and to do it. And I don't mean try it like children often try things, right? We tell them, try it, try it. They put no effort whatsoever, right? Just to get it done. I'm saying, will you try giving yourself to it? Giving yourself to God, knowing that this is His way. Try it. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have given us not just companions for the journey, not just brothers and sisters for the journey, not just spouses or children for the journey, but you have given us warriors, Lord. You've given us spiritual warriors for the journey, prayer warriors that fight your battles, Lord. And that because they fight your battles, they have guaranteed victory. Lord, I pray that each of us would come to understand what it's like to pray in faith, knowing that victory is already yours. Not the kind of victory that's going to win us the lotto or allow us to date the person that we want, but the victory that accomplishes your perfect will here on earth. Your perfect will for our marriages. Your perfect will for our children. Your perfect will for our church. Your perfect will for reconciliation. Your perfect will for salvation for people. But we know that this only happens together when we see the prayer warriors aligning themselves, when the battalion is armed up and ready to go. It gives us that confidence, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to look for the warriors where they are around us and feeling lost or hopeless or defeated because we don't see them. Make us those warriors, Lord. Transform us into people that love to pray together, that open our hearts, that become vulnerable and transparent and stay authentic as we pour out our lives before you, Lord, with no shame, no guilt, because we know there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus and that's now. Lord, I pray for those who have prayed in the past, and I'm sure that they've prayed for something that they knew is a part of your good, perfect will. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen the way they wanted, or it didn't happen the way they thought, or just nothing in their mind happened. Lord, I pray that they would take that burden, that defeat, and take it to the altar. That they would lay it down before your feet and acknowledge, Lord, you are King of kings and Lord of lords, so I accept your will. And I will not let this past burden or this past failure or this past heartache continue to affect me and my prayer life going forward. Lord, I pray that you would awaken us to the realities of all the miracles and supernatural activity that's going on around us on a daily basis. Help us to understand that you are an active God, a God who loves to listen, and a God who loves to act on the behalf of his people. Lord, help us to learn what it means to seek your will, to be in agreement, and to pray together. Not because we're checking it off the checklist, but because it's a part of our spiritual DNA. Lord, help us, Lord, because we know that this is an area that is severely lacking. And we know that if we give ourselves to this, it will change our lives forever. Lord, we thank you, and we love you, and we love you, and we love you. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.